Thanks for listening to this episode of the Westerosi Primer. For full show notes and more about all things Westeros, head to thewesterosiprimer.com. Before I start playing the intro music, check out this friend of the show.
Are you tired of having to change to different podcasts for different topics?
You think you know what we're going to talk about.
And welcome back to Three Fates Decide.
Then we're the podcast for you. Three Fates Decide podcast ranges in a variety of topics, all the way from true crime to reviewing different movies, shows, theater, to the hottest pop culture gossip and topics.
It just sounds more dramatic that way.
All right, so this week we are going to be talking about...
You can find us on Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Deezer, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and all other podcast players. New episodes post every Friday. Feel free to also follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Three Fates Decide with the three spelled out. You can also shoot us an email at threefatesdecide@gmail.com to send us topics you want us to cover. We want to cover what you want. Want different topics? Well, then let the Three Fates Decide.
Three Fates Decide podcast.
Greetings, fellow acolytes. Welcome to another episode of the Westerosi Primer. My name is Liz. If you're new to this podcast, welcome. I hope you enjoy this journey of all things Westeros. And in this episode, I'll be talking about Aegon IV. Before I start the discussion, there are a couple of things to note. First, there will be some potential spoilers for people who have not read any of the books connected to A Song of Ice and Fire. There may also be potential spoilers for House of the Dragon and other future shows adapted by Max. So if you're okay with this, then please continue listening. Second, the information in this episode comes from the written works of George R.R. Martin and the contributors of A Wiki of Ice and Fire on Westeros.org. Check out the full show notes and other links located on this show's website, thewesterosiprimer.com. With that said, let's begin. I've actually already started discussing Aegon's life while talking about his father's reign and the reigns of his cousins Daeron and Baelor. So I'm mostly going to briefly summarize some of those things in case you missed it in the previous episodes. If you've been listening to this podcast, I've talked a bit about Aegon's earlier years. He's gotten some mentions during Daeron's rule and then Baelor's rule. As usual, while this episode is mostly about Aegon, I'll mention a bit about what is happening with other people in his family and social circle where it's relevant. Now, normally I would do things like the previous episodes this season and discuss the many things that Aegon had done during his reign. The many great deeds that he and his council achieved. Heck, I'd even be talking about rebellions, conflicts, and battles that could have happened. However, I will not do that here. Why? Because this king literally did nothing during his reign that helped anyone except himself. This king would later be known as Aegon the Unworthy. Aegon was mostly interested in whatever made him happy. He was like this when he was still a prince. The power of being a king made him able to do this all the time with no one really stopping him. His small council were fairly laughable in terms of competence. Aegon handed out the positions to whoever would flatter him and do whatever he wants. I'll get into this a bit later in the episode. He would also actually give away a dragon egg to a lord named Lord Butterwell simply because Aegon had stayed at the lord's castle. Aegon allegedly got the lord's three daughters pregnant as well. You might be thinking that this is utterly ridiculous. How can this guy have nothing meaningful he did during his reign? I'm not joking. You can literally go to Westeros.org and go to the entry on Aegon IV in their wiki section. Almost the entire section about his reign consists of what he did to get women and his misuse of his power. This man also is responsible for a near century of headaches in Westeros, which, again, I'll get to later in this episode. I genuinely feel like it's a real toss-up who is the worst king in Westerosi history. It's a toss-up between Aegon IV and Aerys II. I genuinely think that even though Maegor the Cruel was a horrible king, I can give him credit for a couple of things. If you haven't listened to my discussion of King Maegor, aka Maegor the Cruel, check out episode 203. As I mentioned in the previous episode, I was going to put a poll out for listeners to let me know who you think is the best and worst kings in Westeros. On a side note, I think Robert Baratheon was a pretty terrible king. If I were to make a list just in general, kings on the Iron Throne, Robert would probably be in my top five, but I haven't figured it out yet. Back to the topic at hand, Aegon IV. So if this king is utterly useless and lacking achievements, what is there to talk about? Well, it's his mistresses. I had compared him to King Henry VIII of England, and he very much is a Westerosi version of that guy. That's how many women he slept with, and that's how he causes problems that would last almost a century. So a chunk of this episode is going to be about his sexual escapades. Aside from his wife, who was also his sister, he had multiple women he slept with. A few of them were considered his mistresses, mainly because he had a lengthy relationship with them. There are many women he probably had the equivalent of a fling or a one-night stand with. So they're not considered mistresses of note. So I'm going to talk about some of these women and some of the bastard kids he had with them. I'll be honest, Aegon IV is a total failure of a king and had a negative reputation. However, weirdly enough, his children had bigger impacts than him. But again, I'll get into that in a bit. So let's rewind a little bit back in time and go in order. I had previously mentioned in episode 212 how Aegon's first mistress was Felina Stokeworth. This resulted in Viserys deciding that Aegon and Nerys would marry. I do wonder if Viserys ultimately regretted making this decision. He couldn't have failed to notice how Aegon still chased anyone in a skirt and Nerys was miserable. For chronological context, this was during King Aegon III's reign. Also during his uncle Aegon's reign, he'd have an affair with a woman named Maeght in AC 155. Aegon apparently needed a blacksmith because his horse lost a shoe. Maeght was married to the blacksmith. She's attractive looking, and Aegon arrogantly paid the smith 7 gold coins for Maeght. Of course, it also helped Aegon that he had a Kingsguard with him. Maeght would live in a mansion for 4 years as his mistress. Aegon even arranged for a mock wedding to Maeght. Undoubtedly, this was Aegon's petty revenge against his father. Aegon would have 4 daughters with Mary Meg, as she was referred to. Viserys would find out about this and ordered Meg to return to her husband. The blacksmith would beat her to death within a year. We don't know much else about her daughters other than they were sent to become septas by Viserys. Stuff like this is a reason why I don't completely like Viserys. As I had also mentioned in the Daeron episode, Aegon had joined his cousin in Dorne. Aegon was given the task of escorting 14 Dornish hostages to King's Landing. One of the hostages was a woman named Casella Vaith of House Vaith. She became his mistress while she was in King's Landing. However, by the time King Baelor decided to return the hostages, Aegon was already bored with her and didn't protest it. Casella was apparently infatuated with Aegon and never married or had children. She wholeheartedly believed Aegon loved her and would eventually summon her back to King's Landing. In the previous episode, I mentioned how Aegon had been sent to Essos in AC 161 after Nerys lost twins and nearly died. During this trip, Aegon met Bellegaire Otheres. She would be his mistress for 10 years, and she had 3 children. though it was not really clear if any of them are actually his kids, since she had other lovers in between their meetings. I had previously mentioned in the last episode that Daenerys Targaryen escaped the Maiden Vault, and her final escape resulted in a pregnancy. Daenerys would refuse to name the father, but many years later, when her son Daemon is about 12, she finally admits she had a fling with her cousin Aegon. So yes, Daemon Waters is going to come up again later in this episode. As I mentioned in the last episode, in AC 171, Baelor dies, and officially, the three Targaryen sisters were finally freed from the Maiden Vault. And I had also mentioned that there were other women sent to join the princesses as companions. And I mentioned a Barba Bracken. Well, 16-year-old Barba caught Aegon's eye. Once his father dies in AC 172, Barba openly is known as Aegon's mistress. She did such a good job pleasing him, he named her father as Hand of the King. Not long after this, Barba is pregnant and gives birth to a son named Aegor. A couple of weeks later, Nerys would give birth to another set of twins. This time they were fraternal twins, a girl and a boy. The boy would die and the baby girl survived. She would be named Daenerys. Nerys was very weak and yet again was nearly dying after the difficult pregnancy and birth. At that time, Lord Bracken suggested that the king could marry Barba after the queen dies. However, Nerys didn't die and eventually recovered. Prince Daeron and Prince Aemon were angered at the man's audacity. They would pressure Aegon to dismiss Bracken and send him, Barba, and Aegor back to Stonehenge. Not long after Barba was banished, Aegon had a new mistress named Melissa Blackwood. If you listen to episode 109, you would be well aware of the rivalries between their two houses. I even also briefly discussed Melissa and Barba in the episode. However, I'll repeat a bit and add more. Melissa was actually pretty friendly with Nerys, Daeron, and Aemon, surprisingly. She was generally well-liked at court and practically ruled for 5 whole years. During that time, she had 3 children with the king. 2 daughters and 1 son. Little is discussed about the daughters other than their names Mia and Gwennys. However, her son Brynden was pretty major. It's hinted in the novels, but Brynden ends up becoming the Three-Eyed Crow, or Raven, who later trains Bran Stark. I also mentioned in the House of the Dragon season 2 finale, we did get a brief glimpse of Brynden during Daemon's Werewood Vision Quest montage. It'll take a future episode to explain more about this fascinating Targaryen bastard. During this period, Barba Bracken and her father plotted to regain favor to their house. Their plan was to train Barba's younger sister Bethany into becoming the ideal mistress for Aegon. In AC 177, Aegon arrived at Stonehenge to visit his son Aegor. Bethany was presented to the king and she caught his eye. She returned to King's Landing with him and replaced Melissa Blackwood as his mistress. However, by this point, he was 42 years old and fat. And as I mentioned in episode 109 about the Riverlands, Bethany found it difficult to be with an older, fat man. She wound up having an affair with Sir Terence Toyne, who was a member of the King's Guard. He was apparently very good looking and, just as importantly, much younger than the king. A year after arriving at King's Landing, their affair was discovered. Suffice it to say, the king was angry about it. Not so much his knight was breaking his vows of chastity, but he was having an affair with his mistress. If you listeners had checked out episode 109, I talked about how this is yet another example of George using actual history to create storylines and characters in this saga. It's not explicitly stated as far as I know, but it's pretty clear to anyone familiar with Henry VIII's shenanigans would recognize who's who here. If Aegon is King Henry, Barba is Mary Boleyn. Her sister Bethany appears to me is a combination of Anne Boleyn and Catherine Howard. For anyone not familiar with the original story, Henry was married to Catherine of Aragon, who was his first wife. He had an affair with Mary Boleyn, who was also already married, and a lady-in-waiting to Queen Catherine. Later, Mary's sister, Anne, would arrive at court. She gained the king's attention, but was clever enough to refuse to be a mistress. This would motivate the king to divorce his wife and marry Anne. Later on, Henry was seeking a fifth wife and would marry Catherine Howard, who was also the first cousin of the two Boleyn sisters. Catherine Howard cheats on her old and fat husband with a handsome man closer to her age. Now you see the connection? Just like Catherine Howard and her lover Thomas Culpepper, Sir Terence and Bethany would suffer greatly for it. They were both executed for their affair. Interestingly enough, Lord Bracken was also killed for his part of introducing Bethany to the king. Sir Terence had two brothers who vowed revenge against the king for their brother's death. Regardless of what you or I might think of Aegon, it's a pretty extreme and stupid idea plotting regicide. I mean, even if they killed the king, they're going to be killed for it, and their family would pay the price for it too. Unfortunately, Aemon wound up saving his brother at the cost of his own life. Nerys dies a year after Aemon from birth complications. It's assumed her baby also died with her, since Aegon's only children with his wife are Daeron and Daenerys. Aegon would start making claims that Daeron is actually Aemon's son. This is pretty interesting because he conveniently waits until both his brother and his sister-wife are dead to make such a claim. Also conveniently, he only claims Daeron is Aemon's child, but he makes no such claims regarding his daughter Daenerys. I don't think anyone other than Aegon's yes-men actually believed his claims, considering Aemon and Nerys's personalities. It's not too surprising he'd make these statements. Aegon had been envious of his brother Aemon almost his entire life. Aemon was always praised for his skills as a knight, his honor, and his great deeds. Aegon barely does anything that isn't for his own self-satisfaction. On top of that, his son Daeron didn't like or respect his father. In AC 174, which is while Melissa Blackwood was the mistress in King's Landing, Aegon tried to restart the conquest of Dorne. Daeron thought this was a dumb idea and went out of his way to try to stop his father's plan. Fortunately, the invasion fleet was scattered due to a storm, so it failed. This invasion would have been a huge problem considering Daeron was married to Moriah Martell. It's not clear exactly when Daeron and Moriah were married, but their first child, Baelor, was born in AC 170. So the wedding was at the latest in AC 169. Conveniently, around this time, Nerys was accused of betraying her marriage vows and bringing doubt to Daeron's paternity. The accuser fought Aemon in a trial by combat, and he lost to Aemon. Despite Aegon implying and insinuating things, he never actually disinherits Daeron. This does bring a lot of skepticism of the claims. It's pretty clear Aegon hated his son for having the audacity to oppose him. But he doesn't have the guts to actually disinherit him, even when he is about to die. Some people speculate that disinheriting Daeron would create civil war, which is pretty possible. Daeron isn't a great warrior, but he is scholarly and intelligent. The fact he is smarter and more competent than his father would have appealed to lords who are tired of Aegon's misrule. Meanwhile, after Bethany Bracken is executed, Valena Lothston would arrive at court along with her husband. She also brought her 14-year-old daughter, Jane. Clearly, she's her mother's daughter, at least in looks, because it wasn't long before Jane became Aegon's mistress. Lord Lucas was also given the position of Hand of the King, all because his daughter was the new official mistress. It's already pretty creepy, this connection to begin with. But if you remember when I talked about her mother, I mentioned there were rumors as to whether or not Aegon was Jane's father. So there's a possibility that Aegon made his illegitimate daughter his mistress. Of course, this didn't last long because Jane caught the pox from the king. It shouldn't be a surprise to any listener by now that Aegon was seeing prostitutes in between mistresses. One of them gave him an STD, and he gave it to young Jane. Jane and the rest of her family were sent from court, including the now former Hand of the King. After Jane was sent away, the final of Aegon's official mistresses was brought to court. She was named Serene of Lys, who was a very beautiful courtesan. It was rumored she knew magic, but it didn't really help her much when she got pregnant and died from complications after the birth. Her one and only child was a daughter named Shiera, who would later be known as Shiera Seastar. I had briefly mentioned Dana Targaryen, but what about her other two sisters? It's not fully clear what happened to Rhaena after leaving the Maiden Vault. George hasn't really discussed that. Realistically, she either married as expected of a Targaryen princess, or she was able to join the Faith as a Septa. Given how there's no real mention of her or anyone claiming descent from her, I'm going to assume she joined the Faith. Likely, Viserys didn't have much time to seriously look into betrothing her to anyone. I highly doubt Aegon bothered either. The more interesting sister left to talk about is Elaena Targaryen. At some point after leaving the Maiden Vault, she had an affair with Aelyn Velaryon. At this point, Baela Targaryen presumably has died because I highly doubt she would put up with her husband having an affair. It's one thing if your husband was having an affair with some random woman. It's another matter to have an affair with a Targaryen princess while married to another Targaryen princess. The fact Elaena would give birth to fraternal twins would also be hard to keep a secret. Not much is known about her children other than their names are John and Jane Waters. John would apparently grow up to be a well-regarded knight. Later, his family would take on the name Longwaters. Elaena apparently did love Aelyn and hoped she would be able to marry him. Unfortunately, he goes on a journey and apparently disappears while at sea. This would be the reason why Elaena ultimately agrees to marry someone else. I have to say that it's really interesting to see how vastly different Aelyn is in the books compared to how he's portrayed in House of the Dragon. He's far more serious and by the book. Meanwhile, in the stories, he's more of an adventurer and has a bolder personality. In AEC 176, Elaena Targaryen was 16 years old and she married Lord Ossifer Plum. His age isn't revealed, only that he was elderly and apparently died after the wedding night. Elaena managed to get pregnant and would give birth to a son named Viserys Plum, who would inherit Lord Ossifer's land. There is, however, skepticism that her husband was actually the father of her son. Most people suspect Elaena might have already been pregnant when she married the old lord, and the real father was, of course, Aegon. Given Elena's personality, I wouldn't be surprised. She does remarry, but I'll save that for the next episode since it happens during Daeron's reign. So to close out this episode, I'll just talk about the final years of Aegon's terrible rule. In AC 182, there was a tourney, and at tourneys, there are actually bouts for squires to compete with each other. Typically, winners of these squire events get the chance to be officially knighted. At this particular one, the winner was a 12-year-old Daemon Waters. Because his parents are both Targaryens, Daemon was allowed to live in the Red Keep and received training from the Master-at-Arms there. Aegon would not only knight his bastard son, but he also gave Blackfyre to the kid. This has serious consequences, which I'll get into next episode. Allegedly, Daemon was interested in marrying Daenerys. However, Aegon made it clear he wanted Daemon to marry Rohaine of Tyrosh. She was the daughter of the Archon of Tyrosh, which basically means he's the ruler of Tyrosh. If you're not familiar with what Tyrosh is, please check out episode 111, where I discuss different places in Essos. Aegon wanted to improve relations with Tyrosh, so he would have a fleet to launch another attempt at conquering Dorne. However, Aegon allegedly promised Daemon he could marry more than one wife if he wanted. Not sure what that ultimately would mean since that would never happen. Aegon would die in AC 184. He was morbidly obese, couldn't walk, and had other physical ailments due to his gluttonous lifestyle. In other words, the same fate as Henry VIII. While on his deathbed, he would do the final thing to mess everything up after years of endless misrule. He would legitimize all of his bastard children to mess with Daeron. How is this messing with Daeron? You'll have to wait until next week to find out. All of you have already listened to me talking about all the ways Aegon IV truly was an unworthy king. It's exactly why I put him in my poll of who is the worst Targaryen king. I know that no one as of this recording has participated in the poll yet. I'm sure some of you might be thinking, well, maybe I should listen to more about all the kings first. I can't blame you for that. In case you haven't seen the poll yet, I put a link to it on the podcast website. You are answering two questions: who is the best and who is the worst Targaryen king? Both questions have the option of other if you think it's a king not listed for each question. If you select other, you'll be prompted to fill out which king and have the ability to explain why you feel that way. I do hope that a bunch of you listening to these episodes participate. It's a fun interactive experience among all of us. When some of you start participating, I'll periodically include updates of the poll results in future episodes. I would be interested to see people who vote for other and their rationale. There's no right or wrong answer. I'm just curious, and I'm sure some of you listeners would be curious about what your other fellow listeners think. But with that, it's time to end this episode. That just about covers the life of Aegon the Unworthy. If you're interested in finding out more for yourself, feel free to go to the full show notes where I will have links. Though be aware, if you do any of this research, there will be spoilers to the novels, House of the Dragon, and Max's future adaptations. Thank you for listening, and tune in to the next episode where I'll talk about Daeron II. What did you think of this episode? Check out the WesterosiPrimer.com and let me know what you think of this episode. If you have a friend or two that might like the show, make sure to share.